All right, Cubs fans, it's the Ivy Envy post-game show for the wild card game. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I'm joined by the other two hosts of this podcast.
Hey, it's Andy.
I don't know my name, but this is the other guy. Bert, that's right.
Oh, if this is your first time listening to our podcast, I apologize, because yeah. This is just going to be a whirlwind of celebration.
Yeah, and we should throw out, we usually try to keep it pretty tame for any listeners with kids. We keep it PG, PG-13, but perhaps, I don't know what's going to happen, but no. Maybe this is not the one to throw on the radio with the kids in the car. Good. We might throw out some celebratory expletives.
Right.
Bleep, yeah, we will.
What do you guys, I want to bust in with something here. I think it's kind of fitting. Because tonight felt so good, guys. It feels so good. It feels so good.
It does. I am giddy.
We're just going to play this. Okay. Okay, guys. So if you could sum this evening up in one word, what would it be?
I'm going to go with Jake.
Oh, yeah. Andy stumped.
I'm totally stumped. I would say cruising.
Cruising. Jake was cruising. Oh man. Yeah, it was the fact that they got on the board early, and it looked like, you know, I was afraid that if Cole was able to get into a groove early on and the Cubs didn't jump on him, it could be a long night. And they got on him quick, and he never looked comfortable. And I have to admit, like, after that first run, I was so, so confident. And then after the, what was it, the third inning? When did they score?
Over at the home run.
The third inning was a two-run shot.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, that's when, like, oh, that's when I got real confident.
Essentially three players just won this. I mean, Arrieta, Schwarber,
and Dexter.
And Dexter, yeah. Just like dominated this game. I mean, how great is it too? Like your superstars, your Rizzo and your Bryant don't do a whole lot. I mean, Bryant made some great defensive plays, but you know, some key players step up. Oh my God. Oh, this is gonna be rough but amazing. I'm sorry.
I'll fade the music out. It may be distracting. But I don't even know what to do with this thing. Like, let's start with Jake Arrieta. Let's just start with that. Okay, so his line. I kept track. I did the scorecard on my scorecard app on iPad, good, which is really cool. I really like it a lot. It was like $20, but I used it for, you know, when I was coaching. The thing that sucks is like when they changed that, was it McCutcheon's hit in the eighth, when they changed it to an error, or it was either the seventh or eighth, they changed it to an error from a hit, and I couldn't figure out how to go back and change it. So there's that. But, okay, so what? He gave up. Arrieta went 9 innings, complete game, obviously. 5 hits. Is that right? I believe it's 5 hits. And 11.
4 hits.
4 hits. Okay, because they took the one away. So 4 hits, 11 strikeouts, and 0 walks. Go ahead.
So just on paper, on the surface, that looks like pure and utter domination. But he said it himself. I mean, he had some good defensive plays behind him, and he was the beneficiary of 2 double plays, very timely double plays.
But let's give him a little cred for the pitches he made on those double plays to get those grounded. I mean, he had some some rough pitches where he's kind of floating up high, and then all of a sudden he gets the ball down and gets a double play. I mean, yeah. Oh, incredible.
And you knew Aramis Ramirez was going to end his career with a double play, hitting into a double play. And I mean, that dude was nowhere close. I mean, I expected it to be a lot closer at first base, and it was, I don't know.
Wasn't exactly booking it down the line.
No. Yeah. Okay, so
it's great to see some. Look at that, we got live video from Danny.
I know. So for the live viewers right now, we have a feed inside of post-snap Confusion Park.
Nobody there but Cubs fans.
That's awesome. We can see Danny from Sunranto show or the podcast is providing us with footage from inside PNC, but we can't hear him. So. The live viewers are.
I saw his beautiful face.
Yeah. So, okay, so Arrieta's line, 9 innings pitched, 4 hits, 11 strikeouts, 1 walk. I would like to read a prediction that this host right here made on last night's episode. I said 9 innings pitched, 1 run, 4 hits, 11 strikeouts, and 1 walk. So.
You said 11 strikeouts?
I said 11 strikeouts, 1 walk.
Pretty good.
I don't know.
I predicted a 4-1 win with even Castro playing a good part in it, and he turned 2 double plays. So
defensively, he did. Too. Right.
I didn't specify offense.
No, defense. Yeah.
Even a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. I also predicted. That
I'm sure Cardinals fans are saying that same thing right now about the Cubs.
But man, like, how amazing is, like, is there anything closer to a guaranteed win than Jake Arrieta starting at this point? I mean,
no.
Yeah. In baseball, I don't think there is. Because even, I mean, when did we do the last one? Monday night. I don't know. I had a fair bit of nervousness because that's baseball. Like, things happen in baseball. And then to watch tonight and, like, see them go out and execute everything the way it needs to be done. You know, they got in trouble and they got out of trouble, and that's how baseball goes, and it was amazing.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing about it too is that, like, Arrieta pitched amazing, but it was not one of his most dominant outings. Obviously, he's throwing a no-hitter, so that was not his most dominant outing. But, you know, there was, I believe there was 2 points in the game in the, I'm looking at my notes here, I think it was in the fifth. So the fifth inning is when he hit, I don't remember who, he hit somebody. And then
Harrison.
Yeah, it was Harrison. And then right after that, he missed his spots on like 2 or 3 pitches, and the crowd started getting into it. And I think Montero came out, and I think that was the first time that Bosio came out. And then he just settled right down, like got right back into his groove. And then really the same thing happened again in the sixth inning. And that was when the Pirates had the bases loaded with 1 out, and he had given up, you know, a hit. The hit by pitch, and then that it was originally ruled a hit by McCutchen, later an error, and then forced the double play. But there was a couple times that he looked a little bit shaken, I guess. I mean, I've never really seen him, especially here in the second half of the season. He looked like a little more shaken than I think we've seen him in the past 3 months.
Did you take his look as shaken or more just kind of, you know, vibing on a little bit too much energy or something like that?
I kind of agree with Corey. I think he was a little bit shaken, but calmed down quickly. And I think he didn't have his, you know, A game stuff, but, you know, Arrieta's B game stuff is better than most.
Right.
You know, cause I think he was sort of like, you know, to take the name of another podcast, he was effectively wild tonight. Like, he let a few float high.
Right.
He had, like, you know, couple balls, 2-3, you know, 2 feet out of the zone high. And it looked like, whoa, where did that come from? And all of a sudden,
well, the 2
right
hit
back
pitches
to the strike zone. And it was just like, he was, I think that worked to throw off some of the hitters.
Right. In the 2 hit by pitches, you know, that's pretty uncharacteristic of him.
But like he
I mean, think he was like shaking.
This was Arrieta's version of grinding it out.
See, I think
amazing to start it, but.
Okay, so Andy, tell us why you think he was not shaken. Why it was
because Lester. Andy thinks Lester should have started. Sorry, Andy.
Oh, log off. because I mean, you can kind of, you've seen the same look in his eyes, that the intensity in his eyes made me think that it was just, he was amped up on adrenaline and was just feeling the energy.
I don't think I don't think
he was shaken.
I don't think that's what it was, Andy, because he is so even keeled. I don't think that dude has adrenaline.
Oh, so he can get shaken though, even though he's even keeled?
Well, no, I'm saying he doesn't get, let's just say it was
his version of shaken, which is
right,
not very
right. I don't think he was like gonna lose it or anything, but I think Bazio played it really well by going out and kind of like diffusing the situation and allowing him to really just kind of get back into his groove.
Get back to
Arrieta got his groove back.
Get back to being even killed, which he doesn't deviate from. Yeah.
No, I think I think you're probably right, but like, oh man.
So let's get into I
go inning by inning.
Well, I gave his line, you know, his pitching line. What I did not include is a freaking stolen base.
Yeah. And the perfect timing of a stolen base. Like,
oh man.
All that goes down and he's like, I mean, it's probably the coaching staff saying, look, just go here. You're going to go on the first pitch.
You think so? I thought it was totally freelancing.
Either way, whoever recognized it, because nobody's paying attention, really. Nobody's thinking that's going to happen.
Right.
So whoever called it, whether it was straight from him or whether it was from the coaching staff, that was a pretty amazing heads-up play.
Yeah, I thought like that. I literally was like just cracking up when he did that, because it's like, and that's how smart of a ball player I think he is. I think he made that call. I think he was like, okay, so you just had all this drama, you know,
and he's the only one poised enough to see that.
Right, right. And I don't know. So am I wrong, guys, or is that the first time we've seen the Cubs bench clear this season? I couldn't remember any other time.
I don't remember any other time either, now that you mention it. Yeah. Anybody in the chat remember another time?
Not this year.
And as they're like pouring out, I was just like, no, 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 no punches, no, like, yep, no. Unless ejections, nothing.
Jackass Rodriguez.
Okay, right. So did it look like Rodriguez swung at David Ross?
Yes, I guess. I think that's what happened.
I guess. I mean, it didn't. Which, there wasn't a great angle to see if that was really like a thrown punch or if it was just kind of.
I think he attempted and didn't get much on it. But I think that was Ross's intention. I think Ross came out like, I'm going to get in the front of this. Like, what do I, you know, if I get jacked or if I get thrown out, oh well. But again, like, that's from a guy who kind of ripped on Ross early, and I am embarrassed about it now. Like, that's the role that kind of guy plays, where
right,
he comes out and is just like up in the middle of it. And he actually, I don't know.
They created an area at a Citadel, which is at I'm Colin. Some other people in the bar we were at were saying that too.
I think they said that in the broadcast too.
Oh, did they?
Like, okay. People kind of just like got around him and, but yeah, Rodriguez definitely didn't make himself too good there.
And you know, to me, excuse me, as you can tell, like, my voice is going. I may have done some yelling here tonight, which is why I did not go into public to watch this game. But you know, it really was just like it seemed really desperate by the Pirates. I think the frustration kind of bubbled over. And to be honest,
I can understand that to some degree.
Right. I do not blame Pittsburgh for just being very, you know, fans and the players for being very frustrated tonight, because I mean that sucks to win 98 games.
That's brutal.
Yeah,
but I mean, Rodriguez in particular felt the curse of the Black Pearl there.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of funny to think about like the stark contrast of our tone. Like, if this would have been the Cardinals, we'd be like, "F you." And it's like when it's the Pirates, I'm not hating on the Pirates too much, just because, you know, it's the Pirates. And but man, if this was the Cardinals, I'd be all up in them.
Yeah.
Yeah, normally I kind of pull for them if it's a game that doesn't involve the Cubs, just because, you know, another team that hasn't had deep postseason success for a long time.
Well, and their fans, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, man, they had, what, 21 years or something like that below 500?
Yeah.
I mean, that sucks.
I would like to call out everybody in the first three rows at PNC Park, a bunch of jackasses who like pay thousands of dollars for these seats and then either on their phone the whole game or like just leave randomly for three innings.
Yeah.
And then there's Marlins, man. Like that's, you don't need to go too deep into that, but that irritates me. Like there are people who deserve those seats. And then there's a bunch of rich
all I could think
sat there and just texted the whole time.
All I could think was sweet coordinated chants, guys.
Yeah. They're talking about it in the chat, but that kid that was like imitating the pitcher, that was amazing. I mean, that's just like, that made me so happy because yes, I was like, you know, all right, Danny's now, it looks like he's outside of PNC. We still can't hear him.
You can see his face.
Is there not nacho cheese in your microphone, Danny?
Danny, can you hear us, Danny? Okay, we can't hear you. We're not able to hear you.
Looks like he's putting it up to his ear. I'm pretty sure I saw Danny on TV. Danny must have had some pretty money seats tonight.
Yeah, he did have good seats. In the chat, they're saying, Danny, make sure that the app has access to your microphone. But see, he's in such bad service right
every
now.
Every person there is using his...
Everybody's blabbing.
Yes.
Okay, so the next thing I want to talk about. So we've established, like, Arrieta is a badass, and... We'll leave it at that. That was me. That was my edited analysis there.
It's like now that I made the disclaimer, we're not going to actually.
I know. I almost did, and I pulled back. Another thing, though, how about the top of the order? You know, Fowler and Schwarber leading off, and Fowler went, I believe he went 3-for-4 with the home run, and Schwarber went 2-for-3 with the home run. And in both of his hits, he hit that single and drove in Fowler, who got on base right away, led off the game with a base hit, and then stole second and scored on a single. It was like...
Perfect game by Fowler as the leadoff man in this lineup.
And somebody in the chat earlier mentioned that, I can't remember who it was, but whoever left the very first voicemail on our last episode that we made our predictions, they predicted that Fowler would have a really good game. So, good job, whoever that was. I can't remember.
I don't know,
but
that was impressive.
That was great to see that kind of production out of the out of the top of the order, because if you look past that, Montero got a hit and Russell got a hit, and then Bryant walked and Dino walked. So yeah, there was like it was all those, and Schwarber is not, you know, Schwarber's been pretty cold recently. And he hit the living shit out of that baseball.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he did.
That bat flip, okay, not to take away from the hit, but my God, that was the best bat flip I've ever seen.
But I remember a game earlier this season at PNC and him hitting a ball into the bleachers there. I remember JD specifically saying, we're going to see him hit a ball in the river really soon. And so it was perfect timing on his river shot. I assume that ball reached the river. I mean,
oh yeah,
he killed it.
Yeah.
It was
Matt in the chat says it was a bat throwdown.
Oh yeah. it was amazing.
Yeah. But I mean, just that, and you know, you just like, you know, you just, I man.
Joe Maddon
is like such an amazing, like that's part of what I guess I looked at him understanding that you need to get on the board quickly. You lead everything off with two lefties and they produced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great. I mean, I think when this lineup came out, it was easy to question like, okay, what's happening here?
Especially defensively.
Yeah. And it was awkward defensively. But offensively it certainly worked at the top. The rest of the lineup didn't necessarily pull through, but it was a bit of a question mark, but I think they made the gamble that Schwarber's bat was far more valuable than his glove, and that certainly paid off.
Yeah, it looks like everybody's internet.
Yeah, I kind of question that. I kind of question the corner outfield positions. But yeah, I mean, I could still see the thought process that, yeah, the, these bats are worth having in the lineup more than the maybe defensive liability that having these guys in the lineup brings.
Well, and let's look at the fact that if there is a pitcher to put kind of a questionable defensive positioning mm-hmm. behind him, it's Arrieta. Because right. not very much is going to get hit, and it's typically not going to. I was actually surprised that the Pirates did get some pretty well hit balls. They did hit the ball pretty hard. Look at that
later.
Line drive that yeah. Bryant, knocked up in the air and then caught. Yeah.
There was some hard contact for sure, and I think it was the sixth inning or something. I was getting kind of nervous because they were getting to the third time through the order. And they hit several balls kind of hard in a row.
Right, yeah.
But, yeah, some good defensive plays behind him. And it's sort of like, you had the whole package tonight. You had Arrieta obviously pitching incredibly well, some key defensive plays, and then some sort of, unexpected offensive performances. And it's like those are the kind of things that you put together for postseason wins to me.
Yeah. Let's see. What else do you guys want to talk about with this game? I'm kind of looking through my notes here. I thought it was pretty awesome. Alvarez didn't start, and then he came in pretty early and struck out three times in the game.
it made sense sort of to start, and then I think they're like, oh crap, that was a bad move, and let's get him in there.
Well, if it's going to be a tight game, if it's going to be a tight game, they don't need necessarily his power in the lineup for sure, but I mean, right. once you're down three, right. you need the guys that can give you a big swing of the bat. So I think the situation's changed. I saw that as being pretty smart managing by Clint Hurdle, actually.
Yeah.
To bring him in once they went down 3-0.
Well, and I thought it was that you bring up Hurdle, how they do these awkward postseason in-game interviews with the managers, and they were fairly early tonight, but the Hurdle interview, you could kind of hear. He's like, yeah, we just got to grind it out. We got to make better at bats. We got to, I think he said out-compete them in the batter's box. And you can kind of tell they were on the grind mode by pretty early, by the fourth inning,
Right.
They're like, oh, crap, we got to change our game plan. And yeah.
Well, that's what's so important about scoring early. Because when you have Arrieta on the mound, just a single run in the first inning can really, I think it can, really put the opposing team on their heels, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, we've got to, then they start pressing. Then they kind of, might, if their goal was to drive up Arrieta's pitch count in any way, they didn't do it.
Well, you could tell early in the broadcast, you pointed out too, that it seemed like the game plan early for the Pirates was take your time, throw off his rhythm. Mm-hmm. Took him forever to get in the box, trying right. to,
they called
stretch
time.
Out between pitches. Yep, call a lot of time. Obviously didn't work for them, but I mean, it seems like a reasonable game plan, but it didn't work.
Right, yeah. So we talked about Jake Arrieta. Let's talk about Gerrit Cole. Not impressive and not impressive.
Well, he was off from. I mean,
right.
He fell behind the first, I don't know, three or four batters.
Yeah.
And so you could tell that he was a little bit off from the very beginning.
Yeah. So yeah. His final line was he pitched five innings, gave up four runs, six hits, two home runs, struck out four and walked one, only threw 78 pitches. But the one thing that stood out to me was his body language was really bad. Even after that, I think it was in the second inning. I think it was, it may have been in the bottom of the first. They showed him in the dugout and he was just kind of staring at his shoes, messing with them. And it's like, man, that did not look like a guy that was real confident. And, mm-hmm. and that's after giving up the one run. And then in the third, his body language was terrible right before he gave up that home run to Schwarber. I mean, he was, yeah, somebody in the chat says he was talking to himself and he looked, I think it was like he got a baseball and then didn't like it, threw it back, and he was just kind of standing there and his body language was awful. And then I think it was the next pitch or right after that, Schwarber took him deep. So he did not look good.
And, you know, to sort of say something fairly positive about him, I mean, he is super young. I think he's, what, 25 or 26. I sort of think, like, maybe that is an age thing. I don't know. I mean, that's a tough spot for a young guy like that who's
right.
obviously got amazing stuff, who's going to be really great going forward. But in this kind of scenario, something rattled him. You know, well, they got to him early.
Well, and let's, I mean, if you look at just what, you know, I think the Pirates had a lot of pressure on them. This is the second year in a row that they have had a great season and been beaten in the wild card game. And I think he gave up that one run. And I think if you're like I said, if you're a Pirates hitter, you know, okay, we gave up one run, you know, and now we have to try to get one off Arrieta. It's going to be tough. And I think Cole probably was like, I gave up one run. That's enough for Arrieta to beat me.
So, and that was enough to get in his head.
Right.
To compromise his performance going forward from that point.
Obviously, we weren't in his head, so we don't know exactly what was going on. And I don't watch him enough. I haven't watched him enough to know exactly what his demeanor typically is. But
right.
you would think that, like, imagine, you know, a baseball season, 162 games. That is such a long season. And for 2 years in a row to be knocked out after a really good season. And, you know, the Pirates don't have the payroll that the Cubs have. Like, their clock is ticking in a way. I mean, they have a really good system. But you just think, like, they're probably looking at this like, we just wasted two seasons. And I feel bad for him, honestly. I mean, I feel bad for Pirates fans.
Yeah, a little bit. Not too much.
Right. Oh, yeah. I don't want to trade places with them.
No. But, yeah, it's great to be in, like, sort of year one of great performance and then have you come out on top versus, like you just said, the Pirates, you know, year three, four, and they're still getting screwed.
Yeah. Okay, so anything else you guys want to talk about with this game?
Well, I wanted to say that the defense played really solidly, and who would have thought the only error would be Addison Russell?
And I think it was kind of a BS error, too.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Honestly, he made the right play, you know, like, knock the ball down.
Right.
Control
Yeah, keep it.
It
in the infield, yeah.
Yep, yeah. If you're not going to make the out, just eat it, but... I don't know. That one, I think that one could have gone either way on him, but yeah, I think it's kind of one of those questionable errors, but still an error.
But those two, I mean, if you're talking defense, those two double plays in the sixth and the seventh, those inning double plays, I mean, those were crucial, and it was pretty right. awesome to see Arrieta so fired up after it.
Mm-hmm. And then the sort of strange play by Bryant where, like, he knocks it down and has the composure to turn around and catch it.
Yeah, yeah.
He's playing in and there's a rocket right at him and he knocks it up in the air. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, with the defensive lineup and players playing out of position and everything, and especially being so young, I mean, that's another reason that, you know, that's a nice thing about having these young players. They're athletic enough and young enough that you can kind of just slide them in wherever. And I think that's going to be really fun you know, here as we head to a 5-game series with the Cardinals. And if they can get beyond that, 7-game series, like, it's going to be really fun to watch Joe Madden manage this. It's been fun all season, but you get into some of these, like, really strategic areas and everything, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
I think that's a good point. Like, the defensive flexibility this team has is a huge asset where, you know, we've talked for so long about what are you going to do with all these shortstops, and now you're in a position where, like, half these guys can play 3 to 5 positions,
mm-hmm.
legitimately play 3 to 5 positions. And here you had Schwarber playing right for, you know, like, the fourth time, and it worked out. You know, it's just like, I think that kind of defensive flexibility works great for them because they're offensive minded, you know, and you can,
right.
You can work your offensive lineup and sort of, like, let the defensive side fall where it does.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Did you guys find it really hard to watch this game and to watch the strike zone?
Yeah, that seemed really off.
You know, the angle on the camera was very different.
That's
the,
what
the little K-zone thing, whatever you call it, whatever they call it, seemed really off. Because there were pictures where I'm like, that was borderline, and it looked like a foot on
the I think you're right, Andy. I think you just, after about halfway through the game, it dawned, you can say it again.
I was just going to say the camera angle is very different than it is at Wrigley Field. And so that affects the perspective of everything.
Yeah,
with the K-zone and all that.
I think the K-zone was right. It just looked way off because
we're so used to the the angle of the camera at Wrigley.
It seemed like it was lower and more to the right. But hey, we're going to get to
like
see
a lot of those like sort of breaking balls that coming back in looked really awkward.
Yeah. Can we just talk for a second about the fact that we have not seen our last Cubs game at Wrigley Field for the season. That the Cubs are returning to Wrigley Field.
Can we not talk about that?
Why?
Well, partly because if it gets to game four, you two are going and I'm not.
Well, I'm just talking about Cubs fans in general.
Oh, right.
The Cubs are returning to Wrigley Field. You know what? Just go ahead and delay those off-season renovations.
Don't dig any holes.
The only other thing here I wrote down was how amazing is Herrera's helmet. I mean, we saw it yesterday, you know, like when they were working out and stuff, but man,
what, okay, at the end of the game when they all got around him and they had their hands in the middle, what were they saying?
Yeah, anybody, I couldn't pick that
I missed
up
it I missed it because I was
saying.
I was
saying we are out. And I thought good, but I didn't,
I don't think it was good. Yeah,
maybe somebody in the chat can chime in, because I was too busy, like I was
running naked through the house
pretty much. they were saying we are good, so
maybe it was, but it was a little
we are great. I don't know, we never quit. Somebody,
either way, it was amazing because you know, here's Herrera, right in the middle of this pile, and they all have the hands on the hands on the fake hands.
I loved it that like he was just wearing it in the dugout, like up against the up against the fence. Oh, yeah, so good.
Awesome. I love it.
Oh man. I don't know, guys. Anything else about this game? I mean, I was really nervous about doing this game because I was like, okay, it's either going to be like 10 minutes short, like I don't want to freaking talk about it, or it was going to be what it was. And we actually held it together better than I thought we would.
Yeah, I kind of got a lot of like, you know, that built up anxiety out, you know, during and after the game. So
I think after Arrieta retired the side in the first inning, I could read his lips and he said, "That's effing right," or something like that. Or something. Like, so, whatever, something along those lines that made me laugh.
Here's something that's funny. So my daughters had basketball practice tonight. Tawny took them. They come home. We do, you know, they're doing homework while I'm trying to watch it and stuff. And I'm trying to not be like the jerk dad over there, like, keep it down, you know. And I like it. Like my oldest walks through and she goes, "Dad, will you help me put this in the freezer?" And I said, "No, not right now." And she goes, "Oh, that's right. You have to concentrate." So they go to bed and everything. Then when the bench is clear, she's been in bed for like a half hour, and she comes out and she goes, "Who's fighting?" She like comes running out into the
living room. Did she have a radio on?
I have no idea. I don't know. Yeah.
I was kind of a jerk for the first two innings, I won't lie, and then I calmed down, but you know.
Yeah.
What can you do? I did get to watch the first few with my kid, with my 3.5-year-old, which was, as I'm sitting there watching it, I'm thinking, wow, this is pretty special. Like, even though he has no idea what's happening.
Right. Yeah.
It's pretty amazing because I'll be able to say, yeah, I watched that with him and you saw it, even though you don't remember it.
Right. When they came home from basketball practice, my oldest is way into the Cubs. My youngest is, she just isn't really into it that much. She's not, I don't know. So anyways, she comes in and she's like, "Is it on?" And I said, "Yeah, it's on." And she yells out to the garage. She goes, "The Pirates are on." I was like, "No, not the Pirates. We're watching the Cubs."
Well, I had the little guy. He on his own started chanting, "Pirates lose, pirates lose."
Nice, nice. That was
pretty amazing.
Felt a swell of pride.
Nice. Yeah. Man, I love, but like, okay, so let's take a second right now. I am so excited that we get to play the Cardinals in the playoffs. Like, yeah. Oh my gosh. I'm so excited because that team is beatable. They are beatable. Oh, they do not look good.
They're limping right now.
Yes. Yes. And I mean, that, I'm not saying, you know, I'm not saying this thing's a done deal or anything like that. We know they have their devil magic, but they are beatable. We knocked their pitching all over the place in the last month, and I could not. I mean, part of it is just that I want to be the team that knocks the Cardinals out of the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
Not me personally. I mean, I would like to do it, but I'll let.
How does it feel to know that you're going to attend probably two of them?
I know. That is exciting. So I don't. Have we talked on the podcast the fact that we are going to be in St. Louis Saturday for the game? So, what's that?
I said I don't think we have.
I didn't mention it because I knew as soon as I mentioned it, if they lost a wild card game, people would be like, "Oh, well, you jinxed them because you were planning your trip to St. Louis." so I didn't mention it here on purpose. So yeah, we're going to St. Louis. We'll be there. Michael from Galesburg, Bob from Moline. We're all going. And if you're going to game two, we're going Saturday. So if you're going to be at game two, then reach out to us, email us. You can email me, Corey, Corey at IVMV.com. You can tweet at us because we have standing room only. And so let's standing room only together. Let's, you know, strengthen numbers there in the gateway to hell.
Bush, we're in our blue.
But I'm really excited about going to that game. I have a feeling What are we thinking? Probably a Hendricks start. Kind of seems like maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
Hendricks unless win. It's a surprise Hamill start.
Yeah.
But yeah, it would be so awesome if we get to see the Cubs destroy the Cardinals in this series. I feel like it could happen.
Yeah.
So would you guys be disappointed then if they like just win the first three and you don't get to go to game four at Wrigley?
I would be a little bit disappointed because I want to see, I think that game four could be the clinching game, and I would love, because think about it, if you have Lester going game one and then Hendricks game two, that would put Arrieta game three, right? I think Arrieta could pitch game three. So, I mean, you have Lester and Arrieta going in two of those three games. I think we could see.
You guys could see the Arrieta start at for game four, right?
No, I think he'll go game three.
Yeah.
So, but you know what? Hey, if the Cubs sweep the Cardinals, then that's all right with me too. I'm okay with that. It's just fine.
Yeah. If that's the way it has to be, then that's the way it has to be.
Right. I'll be hashtag jelly, but you guys be there, and I'll be off in Florida somewhere watching on my phone.
All right. Well, thanks to everyone for tuning in live. Had a nice, fun group tonight, and Andy's showing Cubs versus Cardinals NLDS on his iPhone there. That is a beautiful sight.
Yep.
I just want to stare at it and pop some champagne after that series.
Oh, I should have had some champagne.
So we will be back to preview games 1 and 2 of the NLDS series with the Cardinals on Thursday night. And you can watch it live by going to Facebook and Twitter, watching on Facebook and Twitter in the evening. And we will send out an alert there when we're ready to go live. Go to IVMV.com/Facebook, and we're at IVMV on Twitter. And also, we have a free iOS and Android app. You can find those in the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store. And if you have an iPhone, you can subscribe to our push notifications, and I send a push notification out when we go live with our broadcasts. So we will be in St. Louis on Saturday afternoon for the game. If you're going to be there, reach out and let's hang out. So until about, 24 hours from now, go Cubs!